everyone. Welcome to Menadorn's Mini Talk on Aldnoa Zero. I'm Jero, joined by Smiley this week. Hello.
Hello.
And we are talking about an action-filled episode of Aldnoa Zero called The Boys on Earth, Episode 7. So before we get to the action, we get a recap of the last episode, which is a little interesting. I thought I was watching like old episodes of One Piece. Like, why are we getting the first 4 minutes in this episode?
Yeah.
But, you know, we move on from that, and then we get the opening, and then from there it's a whole bunch of action stuff. So, but before that, Sawsbomb talks with Kruteo about what to do with looking for Slain, and he's saying, you know, kind of just let him go along because we want to find out where he's going and we can, you know, track him and spy on him, and they think he has some spies and stuff. So that's kind of an interesting approach.
Yeah, I thought that was just, you know, he knows that Slain knows that the princess is alive because Slain's going on about it. Mm-hmm. So I was going to follow Slain, find the princess, and finally kill her again.
And then we get into the action. As we saw, Slain came in and saved the day at the end of episode 6. And in this episode, we get an opportunity to finally see the boys of Earth, you can call them, team up together. And it's really interesting how they kind of talk a little bit, but you can see that they're kind of on the same wavelength, that without really communicating it straight up to each other, they decide in that moment that, you know, Slain can use him and that Inahoe can use Slain. And basically they dock, and then that's how they attack Femian and Hellas.
Yeah, that was a bit of a interesting way to go about fighting, I guess. Slain just gives Inahoe wings or something. Mm-hmm. And that really helps, I guess, against the flying fists of fury, all six of them.
Yeah,
yeah, that was. I mean, that was a really interesting aerial battle. Not a flying mecha, but a mecha on a flying ship fighting flying fists. You don't see that every day, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Bat and Orange is the team there going up against, and then we kind of see some techniques that they use, like they take their weight into consideration, and Slain stalls out intentionally at one point so that they can kind of decrease their altitude at a faster rate, and then eventually we see that what happens in the middle of the episode is that we see that the others on the ship have gone into this tunnel and they've found some Martian technology, and this is kind of big because with Marito, he's been the one that's been talking so much, and we've seen people throughout the show go, I'm not really sure about that, but now this is giving him a certain amount of validity. And then they look down, they go, oh my goodness, what's that? And then and then later on in the episode is when this huge ship comes just flying out, and the princess has revealed herself to everybody, and she's using her bit of the Aldnoa technology to power the ship, and then they just run over Femian like it was just some cockroach on the street.
That was pretty amusing. I thought the kind of whole thing with Naruto was just like, because we know that he's telling the truth because we get to see his flashbacks and whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, it could be unreliable narration, but, you know, it's not doing that. So we know that from the very beginning, and it just, so the revelation to everyone else that, oh my gosh, there actually were aliens here, or Martians here, when the Heaven's Fall happened. It's like, yeah, okay, we knew that. Moving on. But then they took it up a lot with that that giant ship. I just literally came out of nowhere. I'm a little worried now because Salem has, you know, she's revealed herself to the Earth people. And now that she's flying this large ship, there's no way that Sawsbomb and the others have missed a large flying ship that uses the Martian technology, I guess, to power it. So I think this, if anything, has to reveal her to everyone. Surely this time everyone knows she's alive.
Mm-hmm.
But you never know, because last time she was on a large open bridge and apparently nobody saw her except for Inaho, so maybe the Martians won't see her this time, I don't know.
Yeah. I kind of wish that when they showed that scene, everybody looked down and Asylum was off far off to the side. I kind of wish they would have done something where maybe she would have said something and they would have looked over, and then we saw that, because it was a bit of a surprise there that when they came rolling out.
Well, shown her kind of starting to reveal herself to them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I could see that working in some ways. I thought that just the sudden revelation of her in a giant flying ship and everyone knows it's her. Well, at least all the Earthlings know it's her. So I thought that was a pretty good move. It had that nice little oomph factor to it. It's like, whoa, where did that come from? Whoa, the princess has revealed herself. Whoa, they just ran someone over. But yeah, it was pretty brutal the way they took care of Famian. But she was kind of, compared to the previous knights, she was just kind of, like, her power is really underwhelming. I know the indestructible flying torpedoes is kind of, it could realistically be very dangerous. Mm-hmm. It's hard to take her seriously when the previous guy had a huge ass plasma sword and the guy before that had invulnerability, basically. It's like, mm-hmm. all you have is flying arms. Okay.
Yeah, her technology did not seem nearly as futuristic as the other two.
Nope.
I will say that. And then after that battle, and it also, Rayet is the one that kind of provides the kill shot there, and if there was ever any doubt of what her leaning is, I think that would answer the question.
And I feel that, the doubt is not only shared by us, but it's shared by herself, obviously. Mm-hmm. I think, I'm pretty sure she herself was actually confused or just debating this within herself for all this time, which explains why we never get a clear indication of whether she's decided to side with the Earthlings or the Martians, and I'd say this is the right move again, because there's no way she can go back to Mars and live any kind of life. Everyone would just want her dead for various reasons. Whereas on Earth, first of all, they'll never have to know that she's Martian. Well, I hope that never gets revealed. I can see some people getting a bit pissy about that because of how many episodes ago was said when it might be some trouble if the princess is revealed as herself, because people might share some hostility to Martians, and maybe that can happen with Rayet. I hope that people realize the princess Asylum is too important a character to just kill off because of your anger. And so far, it seems like they haven't. Right? Mm-hmm. They let her activate this giant ship for them, or they could just be using her, or both. I don't know. But so far, it seems like they've understood that we should not go and kill her in a fit of rage because of revenge. So yeah, that's good. And Rhea, yeah, good for her. She's chosen the right side, because these sort of things aren't stuck up douchebags. But yeah,
it'll be interesting to see with Rhea after this, like her talking with Inaho now, because we saw her. She was the one that picked up Inaho after he killed Vlad, and she'll kind of be he'll be the one that she'll lean on a lot and maybe be more trusting to, much like Asylum is to right now, although Asylum is opening herself up to everybody on the ship pretty much. But let's go ahead and talk about that exploitation thing there for a moment. When the battle's over, the dust is cleared, Slain's like, "Hey, princess, I found you." But Inaho's like, "Not so fast, buddy. I'm going to use her. Are you going to exploit the princess? Yeah, you are my enemy." And I thought that was a really interesting interaction there with them at the end, because you expect these guys that just teamed up together, like, oh, maybe we can kind of reach some understanding. But Inaho, I think there's still a little bit of something with, from when they killed Okisuke, that he holds resentment toward the Martians for.
Yeah, it's possible. I personally don't think that's the case, because Inaho is just too stoic in general. It was his close friend, and obviously he should feel something about that. But I don't think he's the kind of person to act on emotions like that. At least we haven't seen him really do that much. and I don't expect him to do that. Maybe he will in some sort of, you know, further explanation of his character later on. Mm-hmm. But the way I see it, what happened here is that, you know, both Inaho and maybe not so much Slane, because Inaho is being made out to be the one smart guy here. You know, oh, Slane was wrong about the sky. but Inaho, at least, and probably Slane, they both realize that they do really have opposing goals. My guess is Slane's got a kind of really simplistic idea that maybe if he can bring the princess in front of the emperor, that will stop things from, you know, being so bad for everyone. Whereas Inaho, he's probably got a more pragmatic idea, again, exploiting, really using the princess as a bargaining chip now that she's possibly revealed herself to everyone, definitely the Earthlings. Again, I'm not sure about the Martians. I would think they've realized it by now, but you never know. And that's a really strong bargaining chip, because that's the cause for the war. And mm-hmm. I don't know how the Emperor might react to this if he finds out, because like his granddaughter's alive, right? That's kind of the whole reason of the thing, right? And that's the whole reason why Sazban was able to kind of convince him to restart the war. Mm-hmm. So like this should be the game changer, regardless of how the princess is revealed to him, whether it's Slane bringing her in front of him or Inaho doing whatever he does to get the message across, mm-hmm. which might be the more difficult way, but possibly safer for the princess. I don't know. But so the only way that we can avoid such a simple ending, I guess, is that the Emperor's gotta never find out. Either Sazbomb somehow censors this information, or, you know, maybe mm-hmm. the Martians, I don't know, his clan or group maybe try to take the throne or something. I've always thought that they were eyeing his position, or at least a position of yeah. greater power, even though they've supposedly sworn fealty and loyalty to him. I doubt that. Sazbomb is a sneaky, sly bastard. he's going to do whatever he can to accomplish whatever he wants. And I think maybe once we realize what he wants, that'll be another big thing that happens somewhere down the road.
Yeah, which is probably just all NOAA technology. And if he can, you know, get rid of the princess and, you know, get rid of Rey Regalia and maybe take it from them somehow, then that's the way he can assert himself to the top of the food chain as far as the Martian knights go. Let's see, some extra things right here. Femian, she had named each of her robo-fist, and they're all after demons. I don't exactly get the correlation, admittedly, but I thought that was interesting.
I didn't really know much about their names either. I'm sure there's some deep meaning to it. Probably not. Mm-hmm. But regardless, maybe it was a little cutesy thing that she's named each of her little flying destructible fists. I could go on about the whole macromolecule thing, but we don't need that sermonizing going on here again. I think also maybe we mentioned Maruto a bit earlier, and we see him here, episode 7. What is this, the third, fourth time he's gotten into the mech and pussied out, basically.
Yeah.
Although at the very start he did, you know, he was in the mech, he was fighting against Drill Ram, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he was capable at that point. So it's like, come on, you've done it before, you can do it again. Just a little more, you know, alcohol on you, and that'll go get you over your trauma. Okay, maybe I'm belittling PTSD and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Too much. I've never fought in wars, obviously.
You make it sound like Raj from Big Bang Theory has to drink to talk to girls.
but still, for the sake of his character, you know, moving on, he's gotta he's gotta stop moping around and just freezing up every time. Like, show us your guts, man. You can do it. I believe in you, Maruto. You survived, you know, Troll Ram killing everyone else. You can, you can certainly kick ass if you just put a little effort and alcohol and recovery from your PTSD into it.
Yeah, I think in terms of character development, maybe these past couple of episodes we've gone through a bit of a stage with him, and maybe after things kind of settle down until the next Martian Knight shows up, we can get some more development with him, maybe some more conversations between him and Magbarej to kind of iron some things out, or also the doctor there.
Yeah, it would be cool to see something happen between Maruto and Magbarej, because just because of the stuff that's behind them, you know, maybe they get a little closer. Maybe it doesn't have to be like a real romantic relationship, but at least they can see eye to eye without her calling him a murderer.
Yeah.
And actually, the fact that his crazy reports have been validated really here, maybe this will be the Kickstarter to him being more confident and being able to get over things. But you know, I don't know if that really has any relation to his PTSD, because that's just the after report he wrote, and him being right doesn't really help him get over it. Although it could be used as such in the world of fiction writing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we see a little bit of people starting to believe him. Calm is kind of curious about, you know, wanting to kind of seemed a little bit like he wanted the reports from Tanegashima to be confirmed. So on the whole, this was a very entertaining episode, especially for the whole Inho and Slain teaming up against each other, but at the same time, they're definitely rivals of each other. They're really on different sides of the war. How do you feel?
Well, I feel that sooner or later, probably the end of the first half, the dynamic duo Inho and Slain, what do they call them, Bat and Orange? Sooner or later, they've got to come together, unite as the Orange Bat or something. I don't know, and start kicking some real ass. I don't know when that will happen because, again, of their differing goals, or at least, you know, they share the same goal probably of ending the war, but they're different probably ideologies and ways of going about it. I don't know how they're going to see eye to eye anytime soon, especially considering Inho doesn't seem to be particularly interested in talking to Slain. He's just like, well, you don't agree, or not really you don't agree, but basically your ideas are not the same as my ideas. See you later. He's just like, I was Slain going to catch up with them. I guess he could stalk them and stalk the princess like he's been doing all this time. But overall, yeah, great episode in terms of the action. Again, the whole non-flying mecha on a plane, flying in the air, fighting against six rocket fists.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. It was so entertaining because of how ludicrous it was, but it works. And then just a little bit of plot that was thrown in there, not too much, but enough to set up again, as each episode has done so far, to set up the next one, see where we can go from there. Overall, great episode, and yeah, looking forward to the next one.
All right, so thank you, listeners, for Smiley. I'm Jero. We'll see you next week on the AZ Mini Talks. Goodbye.